going to go ahead and really call this special council meeting of Monday, March 23rd to order. This is a special council meeting convened by electronic means as authorized under Part 14 of the Procedure Bylaw and the Vancouver Charter. This special council meeting has been called to amend the emergency bylaw number 12661 and the ticket offenses bylaw number 9360 to include enforcement authority and possible fines and to convene a meeting closed to the public later this week. First, of course, I want to acknowledge we're on the unceded traditional territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. And to let you know, we're in constant contact with the nations we're working very well together.
Hello, my name is Alex DeBoer, reporting for CITR 11.9 FM. Today, March 23rd, the City of Vancouver unanimously passed a motion to enforce social distancing measures during the COVID-19 pandemic. This means tickets as high as $50,000 for businesses who fail to comply with emergency measures can be given. It also means that enforcement officers can give tickets for up to $1,000 for individuals who are not properly socially distancing. Not only this, during this special council meeting, City Manager Sidhu Johnston made it clear that the city is now working with BC Housing and Vancouver Coastal Health to secure hotel rooms for people who are homeless and at risk. To learn how this will affect people in the downtown east side, I spoke with Chrissy Brett, who is a resident of Oppenheimer Park and a community organizer, as well as Scott Clark, the president of Northwest Indigenous Council.
So your name is Chrissy Brett. Brett, is that correct?
Yes, B-R-E-T-T. Cool.
Perfect. Could you tell me what your role is right now?
I would say that I'm a tent city liaison or sort of volunteer integrated case manager.
Okay. So what action have you seen the City of Vancouver take to create safety for the people who are living in the park?
Other than bringing in a hand washing station and over this past weekend being for the first time on top of responding to plumbing issues with the bathroom, is the only sort of support that we've seen. Like, I think that PHS is very limited in the support that they're able to provide because they were given a very small budget and a contract only until April 1st. So it's not as though they've got the carte blanche like ability to come in and support people. They're in here to help support people in figuring out what sort of housing and shelter they need, what sort of supports they would need to get out of here. And again, we all know the answer is housing, which doesn't exist.
In addition to the need for more housing, Brett is concerned about food insecurity in the downtown east side and the lack of access to mental health services.
These things aren't being talked about. I think people are just starting to talk about the fact that domestic violence may be in an uprise, like while people are self-isolating and stuck together at home. And so how are we going to create support services for people that are in crisis without either A, having, like, I mean, it's hard enough when you're in a normal situation, but when you're in a situation like this, I mean, how much more complicated does it get for people? So I think just reducing some of the anxiety, some of the stress. I mean, we know people who are currently downtown or in SROs that for supportive housing that I have yet to see any really meaningful, culturally safe, trauma-informed, like, sort of supports within it.
Right.
I just think that there's far just as grave risks as the virus itself.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me, Chrissy. I'm just trying to speak to a few folks about this and get a news report up for 3 p.m.
Here's my conversation with Scott Clark, president of the Northwest Indigenous Council.
This is Alex DeBoer from CITR, and I wanted to chat with you about the situation that's happening in the downtown Eastside in Oppenheimer Park, because I was just watching the City of Vancouver's emergency council meeting, and the city manager, Sidhu Johnson, said that the city will be working with BC Housing and Vancouver Coastal Health to find hotel rooms for people who are homeless. And I was wondering if you have any comment on this, if you've seen any of that action happening already.
Well, we haven't seen, we just heard just exactly what you reported out.
Mm-hmm.
We were deeply concerned about the folks, obviously, at Oppenheimer, disproportionately Indigenous folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the city have put together a new team, and they've identified that they're trying to find hotel rooms for the folks in the downtown Eastside. I haven't heard anything beyond that. Deeply concerned that the federal government, they did put a list of demands to the federal and provincial government. We haven't heard anything back yet, though. So we just don't know.
Yeah. Have you, because you are the president of the Northwest Indigenous Council.
That's correct, yeah.
Are you being asked to help the city coordinate and, like, figure out who should be prioritized for housing, or have you been involved in any way?
We haven't been involved in any way. We sort of rose the alarm bells regarding the homeless people, particularly the urban folks at Oppenheimer, and have been seeking to get these folks, all levels of government, to start talking about the Office of Indigenous Peoples. And we have got responses back from the city, and now we're starting to go towards the federal politicians and inform them about what's going on.
Right.
Our concerns.
And so far you haven't?
No. It's like everybody's on shutdown.
Yeah. So there hasn't been much movement on providing. I mean, I know there's been 11 hand-washing stations placed around the downtown Eastside, and I think there's one at Oppenheimer Park. Have you seen any other measures taken to make the living situation safer in any way for people who are homeless or, like, precariously housed in SROs or shelters?
Well, we've heard the city is starting to ensure that these SROs are getting cleaned and that they're
mm-hmm.
But nothing really beyond that. Again, I think they're dependent upon the federal and provincial government providing contributions so they can support the folks.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things, what we did notice by absence, is the federal funding for COVID for First Nations excludes these populations living in the cities, and particularly the ones we're talking about are living in the downtown Eastside at Oppenheimer.
How does it exclude them?
Because the Prime Minister informed us that when he made the announcement the other day for, I think it was for $305 million, that they're using what's called a distinctions-based approach.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is it's for band councils, some Métis groups, and some Inuit groups. But if you're off-reserve, if you're non-status, you cannot apply for those resources. So we sent a press release out today on that very issue, challenging the Prime Minister to remove that discrimination against the 80% of Indigenous peoples living off reservations.
Right. So you did? You sent a letter to the Prime Minister today?
We sent the press release. We sent the press release out this morning.
Okay.
Challenging him on that, and we'll see what happens.
Wow,
so
yeah.
Right now, the 80% of us live off reservations, and we are not being funded for any measures by the federal government. They're just restricting it to the 20% living on the, principally the 20% living on reservations.
Right. So you're saying 80% of Indigenous people are living off reserve?
In BC and Canada.
In BC. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm also wondering, so the city just unanimously passed a motion aimed at enforcing social distancing. So basically they can give people fines now if they're gathered in groups but I think bylaw officers have a lot of discretion in this. So I'm just wondering, I know Councillor Jean Swanson was very concerned in the meeting about how this could affect low-income people who are, you know, forced to be in close quarters or hanging out in the downtown east side where there's not a lot of space to distance. How concerned are you about that?
That's a massive issue because in my very recent travels in the downtown east side, we're still seeing hundreds of homeless people and others in the downtown east side congregating together and not taking this serious. They don't have a place to go. They can't distance themselves. The message isn't getting to them. And I'm particularly concerned because next Wednesday, or this Wednesday coming up, is they'll be issuing the welfare checks and disability checks. And so my suspicion is that, you know, yet again, we're going to find that a certain group of people are going to be put at risk because they just don't have the ability to distance themselves at this point.
Yeah, I have seen that come up, the fact that welfare checks come out this Wednesday. Do you know, are you aware of any measures that have been put in place that can assist people in distancing when they're probably going to be incentivized to go out and buy things they need on that day kind of all at the same time?
I've heard nothing from government about finding a different way to disperse the checks or how they're going to deal with this, because generally there's lineups. And then you're going to have a whole lot of people who are already stressed that are going to be put under even more stress when they have to go, A, pick up a check, and then, B, try to cash it, and C, go and shop. So it's going to present a whole new basket of issues for the powers that be. We haven't heard nothing yet.
Thank you for answering my questions. I'm putting just this little report together for a 3 p.m. news slot on CATR. I also spoke with Chrissy Brett.
Thank you for listening. This report was brought to you by Alex DeBoer with CATR News. Thanks to Chrissy Brett and Scott Clark for their time. Wishing you well, and stay tuned for more programming on CATR 101.9 FM.